Morning, my dear brethren. We come to the last session of our convention here.
You
have had a very lovely convention. Despite all the heat we have heat in our country too. Some places much worse than here. Our subject for the day, safe conduct in today's troubled world. And our text is taken from Proverbs 16:7. We're in the time of trouble. And there are many things to aggravate people generally today. There are some people dedicated to the overthrow of just about everything. They're completely dissatisfied with it. Additionally, we also have terrible natural disasters. Very serious accidents. And horrible crimes taking place. Such as happened in our country in Oklahoma City. There has been foolish experimentation by what some would call reckless science. The question is, how do we as Christians handle such things as other substances and
depravity?
Their faults and their injustice, their discourtesy and contradiction, their error and their greed. Because the way we handle these things, our reaction to these will have much to do with our tolerance and safety as the time of trouble grows much worse. What are some of the characteristics we need in order to live at peace with others? To avoid their unrest and their anger. Their worry and their molestation. Their resentment and misunderstanding. Also their disobedience and their disorder. Those things described in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Holy living is essential for peace and its maintenance. In one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, helpful in all of life's circumstances, particularly at this time, are found three characteristics mentioned in Micah
6:8.
Actually, this is a synopsis of the Ten Commandments. A sermon could even be given on each of these three characteristics, which makes us acceptable in the sight of God and man. But we will need to use these well, as a few others do, to help us get along in these difficult and serious days. Jesus, in Matthew 5, gives us 8 principles for divine approval. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, these are extremely helpful to our association with mankind. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 gives us sublime advice for reaching a high position in the sight of the Lord and the approval of all like-minded people. He does so also in the beautiful 12th chapter of Romans, where in verse 18 he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In Galatians 5:22-23, in listing the fruits of the Spirit, Paul shows how these are also proper and quite acceptable to all right-minded people. He said, against such there is no law. So we have plenty of good instruction in the Bible on how to live peaceably and favorably with our fellow man. Anger and frustration, along with lawlessness, are becoming the spirit of our times. This is true of nations as well as people. To escape their results and the venting of that wrath, we will need to develop and use certain characteristics to help us to get along with people. Micah has just mentioned 3. Justice, mercy, and humility. And for the days we live in, we would add meekness and gentleness, and also
Justice is really the only sound foundation for any
government.
And history has shown us forsaking justice. That government soon disappears from the earth. In every case, it was soon overthrown. Now, since the sense of justice is warped in some people, underdeveloped in others, exaggerated in still others, we must have some rule or some standard by which to measure true justice. We believe the Bible is our best source for information. And the golden rule, the most practical and effective standard. Read it in Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This golden rule teaches plain, simple justice. Bible tells us that justice is the foundation of the Almighty God's throne. By definition, we would say it is the following. The quality or attribute of goodwill that is based on the demands of God's law and therefore owed by right to other people. Now, the laws of God Almighty are perfect. Those laws that pertain to our association with Him and our association with our fellow men, those laws contain as a basic principle justice. Since no human being is perfect, no one can keep the laws of God perfectly. So there is another quality that comes in to cover for that imperfection. And it is the beautiful and sublime quality of mercy. And mercy, we know, is defined as follows. Compassion, relieving the weak and the unfortunate. Its heart and its spirit is sympathy. Where would imperfect mankind be if the all-powerful and perfect God exercised His perfect justice without mercy? We would all be dead. As to justice, each nation and each age, each religion and each ethnic group has its own standard for what justice should be. However, the principle of a life for a life, an eye for an eye, as the principle of justice
jako stara sprawiedliwości,
is actually older than the law of Moses given at Sinai.
Jest w rzeczywistości starsza niż prawo Mojżesza podane na Synaju.
That was given in 1615 to 1614 BC.
Które zostało podane w latach 1615 do 1614 przed naszą erą.
The oldest record and a vital document of human history.
Najstarszy zapis i najważniejszy dokument w historii ludzkiej.
An ancient Magna Carta. Is the famous code of our law of Hammurabi.
To słynny kodeks Hammurabiego.
Sixth king of the first dynasty of Babylon.
Szóstego króla pierwszej dynastii Babilonu.
It is recorded on 7.5-foot black diorite stone stele.
Został opisany kodeks na mającą wiele 6-punktowy czarny babilońskiej płyty kamiennej.
Produced in the 18th century BC. Written in the Akkadian language, the cuneiform
language.
Now, this code of law was used for over 1,000 years in
Mesopotamia.
And it influenced all surrounding nations. It was made in Babylon. But it was carried up to Susa in ancient Persia, which is today's Iran. This monument was discovered in 1901 by some French workmen in Shushan. Where Esther was queen. This code is an amazing monument of justice, giving legislation concerning many subjects. Such subjects as banking and bankruptcy, real estate, minimum wage, witchcraft, and courts. It concerns offenses involving theft, receiving stolen goods, kidnapping, duties of public officers, laws relating to landlords and tenants, creditors and debtors, water rights and licenses, marriage, divorce, slander and breach of promise, adultery and rights of women, inheritance and adoption, responsibility for assault, surgeon's fees, failure in an operation, slave branding, responsibilities of builders, and military service. 282 statutes. 248 of them are still in good preservation. For example, Hammurabi statute number 206 says, if a man wounds another accidentally in a quarrel, with a stone or his fist, and oblige him to take to his bed, he shall pay for the loss of his time and for the doctor. Moses' law has the same effect, very similar. Located in Exodus 21:18. If men strike together and one smite another, with a stone or his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, he shall pay for the loss of his time,
and
shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Mosaic law, though not as old, is actually far superior to the code of Hammurabi or Hammurabi. Any other ancient code. And that is because of its high ethical standards. Because of its stress upon the motive of love. Both to God and to man. Its demands for more humane treatment of slaves. Greater value placed upon human life. And a higher regard for womanhood. Moses' law taught the fact of sin within man. And his responsibility to God in respect to that sin. A fact Hammurabi, a heathen ruler, and other lawgivers fail to understand. Fail to comprehend that. Hammurabi's code is, however, a remarkable set of laws. A good outcropping of the moral law that God placed in Adam's mind, heart, and will in the beginning. So we see justice is, as we think about it, is the goodwill that we owe
to God.
And that is out of thankfulness and duty for the good that has been done to us. It is the basis of Christian character and development. We must be just before we are generous. This is a moral principle. And justice is really the craving of the race. It is the basic principle upon which love operates. It is the principle, in fact, which underlies all of God's dealings with His creatures. It is His unchangeable business principle. And just how firmly God adheres to that, is quite evident and manifest for everyone. That is acquainted with the plan of salvation. Because the first step of that plan was to satisfy the claims of justice against our race. So if justice is the foundation principle in all of God's dealing, certainly should be in ours too. All of us have an inherent sense of justice, which is a part of our moral life. But as a just person, we have no privilege or right to presume upon the favor of one another. We cannot demand favor, don't you see? Justice should be given, not sought.
Sprawiedliwość powinna być udzielana, a nie powinniśmy jej szukać, domagać się.
It should govern the home.
Ona powinna rządzić domem.
Reign in all class matters.
Ale na wszystkich sprawach zborowych.
Especially in class elections.
Szczególnie w wyborach.
We are not responsible for the action of others.
My nie odpowiadamy za zachowanie innych.
We are surely responsible for our own. Consequently, we must see to it that all of our actions are squared by the exact rule of justice. Before we ever offer a present, or present a single act as the expression of love. We see this exemplified in the life of many of the ancient worthies. We notice their wisdom and their justice. We think, for instance, of the great David. His reign was largely a succession of wars. Only occasional intermissions of peace. But we should notice that these wars were not aggressive wars on his part. They were not wars for conquest. They were always defensive wars. While David's policy toward the surrounding nations was wise and kind, they were not so disposed towards Israel. They were jealous of Israel's growing power and prosperity. And this prompted them to make attacks which David had to repel. For he was a loyal and patriotic servant of the Lord's people. The disposition of those nations was to exterminate. To drive out the Lord's chosen people. So, in justice and righteousness, David had only one course. He had to fight. It is so to this very, very day. 3,500 years later, Israel must still fight to exist. But their neighbors would like to drive them off the land promised to them. Drive them into the sea. Off of the face of the earth. Now David's wars resulted in an enlargement of Israel's territory. So that in his day, for the first time, was fulfilled the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 15:18, that his seed through Jacob would possess the land, the river of Egypt, all the way to the Euphrates in today's Iraq. Now, in those wars, there was a great deal of spoil taken. And David reserved that for the temple that Solomon was to build. You remember that one time David thirsted for the waters of Bethlehem. And three captains left the cave of Adullam. They broke through the Philistine lines. And they returned with water from Bethlehem. David refused to drink that. And he said solemnly and gravely with emotion, God forbid it me, shall I drink the blood of these men? That have put their lives in jeopardy. 1 Chronicles 11:19. He counted it far too costly to drink. And he reverently poured it upon the ground as a precious offering to God. What a man he was. Few indeed amongst the great of the earth would consider any sacrifice of their fellow man too costly to be bestowed upon them, feeling that they are the lords of creation, claiming as their right all kinds of luxuries purchased at the cost of hardship and sacrifice of the rights and the privileges of their fellow men, whom they regard as inferiors. This goes on today. This is what is wrong with the selfish world today in all classes of society. David's lively sense of justice is shown in 1 Samuel. Chapter 30, verses 21-25, where he made the ordinance for Israel to this effect, that those who in time of battle remained behind on account of physical weakness, or to guard the stuff of the home, that they should share equally the spoils with those who fought. That ordinance states a principle having many applications. For instance, the wife who cares for the home should have an equal share with the husband who be relieved of such cares as his time free to earn the money. The single family first in justice, love, and gentleness.
jedna ta zimna chiesa w sprawie miłości, małodności, miłości
should be shared equally by both husband and wife. They are rightfully heirs together of the grace of life. The joys as well as the burdens of life. It is a common yoke that each in love and justice gladly share together. Making the flow of life's events smooth and simple. Peaceful, comfortable, and fulfilling. Our dear pastor, Brother Russell, tells us that justice is a quality which we are not permitted to exalt too highly. Except in our own hearts and minds as a principle of the divine standard. We are not going to analyze any of these qualities. We can get all that in the writings of Brother Russell and Brother Johnson. We merely wish to seek ways of dwelling with our unconsecrated and perhaps also unjustified neighbors, seeking safe conduct in this time of trouble. Another very helpful quality to assist us in getting along with other people is meekness. Meekness is love at school. The school of Christ. It feels keenly and acutely. It is not insensitive. It is benevolence imitating Christ in patience. Forbearance and also in quietness. It overflows in goodwill and bears all things. It is the admirable grace of heart and mind and will that really is mild submissiveness. The meek person is conscious of his lacks. He is willing to be taught. This would be one who is swift to hear, slow to speak. James 1:19. You young brethren, know this well. The meek and the humble disposition is really fundamental to those who would like to receive the wisdom which comes from above, so that you can be a success in life. No one really is in a proper condition to think justly. Reasonably or impartially, except those who have a meek and humble disposition. Psalm 25:9. The meek will be guided in judgment, and the meek will be teach his way. So, in order to grow in the truth and the graces, we require meekness.
conseguenti,
teachableness.
For
James tells us at James 1:21, we receive with meekness the engrafted
word.
The meek Jesus was beloved of children because of his mildness and gentleness. The opposite of meekness is rough insubordination. Rebelliousness. Headiness and stubbornness. These are disgraces that will not help in giving us a quiet spirit. These will not keep us out of distress and adversity. When we deal with the disordered world of mankind in this time of trouble. So God tells His spiritual Israel in Zephaniah 2:3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, the humble in general, which have brought his judgments, who love justice and pursue peace. Seek righteousness, seek peace, seek your meekness rather. It may be he shall be hit part of it in the day of the Lord's anger. In the French Revolution, which was a type of the Day of Vengeance, history tells us that favors were shown to the just and the generous and the kind. But extreme wrath visited upon any oppressor. Meekness quietly disarms opposition. It mellows a hostile disposition. It puts people at ease. It makes the meek person attractive and pleasurable. Because he will not always insist on having his own way. It surely helps in presenting the truth to others. It helps in getting along with our neighbors. Meekness, like godliness, of which it is really a part, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the light that now is, and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. It is a beautiful, admirable quality. It is delightful, giving us strength and dignity. It makes us lovable to God and man. Justice, meekness, mercy. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great thy faithfulness. And in Proverbs 3:3, the great preacher writes, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, that is the compassionate. For they shall obtain or receive mercy. But mercy turns her back upon the unmerciful. Compassionate people recognize their own need of divine mercy. They are quick to extend similar mercy to others. So one of the grandest and noblest qualities man can exercise, which brings great blessing to his giver. His mercy, compassion, benevolence. There was never any heart truly great and generous. It was not also only also tender and compassionate. Mercy is possible to be shown only during the conditions of evil that exist at this time. After the little season, there will be almost no need of it. But it will always be a part of the perfect character. It extends to physical, mental, moral, and religious weakness and misfortune. Shakespeare was right in his observation of its bestowal. It certainly does bless him that gives, him that receives, and him that observes this noble action. This quality surely can be a safe conduct. For us in the trials and the troubles time. Simply because usually in his needs, the merciful person receives mercy from his fellow man. The Bible shows us that the Lord renders his mercy along the same degrees that the merciful one shows it to others. If ye do not from the heart forgive one another, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. We do not only show mercy, but we must love mercy. Mercy can also be exercised in the mistreatment that people receive from others, or the mistreatment that Satan has been giving the race. He is the one that has caused the bulk of the misery experienced by mankind. Also, man's unkindness to man has made billions to weep as public history and private experience prove. This, of course, will continue in the time of trouble. Mercy and compassion can be a part of our safe conduct in these days.
A więc miłosierdzieństwo ludzie mogą być częścią naszego bezpiecznego postępowania w tych dniach.
Little poem called that.
Mały wiersz Kulina.
Teach me to feel another's woes.
Nałóż mnie odczuwać nieszczęście innego.
The height of fault I see.
Kryć wadę, którą dostrzegam.
That mercy I do others show.
To miłosierdzie, jakie ja okazuję innym.
That mercy show to me.
To takie miłosierdzie pokaż mi.
Mercy is the light that covers above the judgment seat.
Miłosierdzie to światło, które krąży nad stolicą sprawiedliwą.
Shakespeare tells us,
Shakespeare mówi nam,
sweet mercy is nobility's true badge.
Słodkie miłosierdzie jest prawdziwą oznaką szaleńczości.
Joy and satisfaction come with its bestowal.
Radość i satysfakcja przychodzi, gdy jest ona udzielana, pokazywana.
And in so doing, we will be like God in Christ.
Czyniąc tak, będziemy tacy jak Bóg i Chrystus.
In works of mercy on behalf of the weak and the unfortunate.
Dzieła miłosierdzia za wobec tych, którzy są słabi i nieszczęśliwi.
For our Heavenly Father and our Savior are very rich in this benevolent quality of mercy.
Ponieważ nasi niebiescy Ojciec i Zbawiciel są bardzo bogaci w ten właśnie cechy miłosierdzia.
Mercy and meekness involve sympathy.
Miłosierdzie i ciszkość pociąga za sobą albo oznacza sympatię.
So we have humility left to briefly consider.
A więc mamy jeszcze pochodzę do drugiego rozwiązania.
God was a premium on humility.
Bóg szczególnie ceni pochodzę.
Humility and meekness are sisters.
Pochoda i ciszkość to siostry.
They are the two qualities essential to.
One są dwoma cechami, które są niezbędne.
For the spirit of a sound mind.
Dla ducha zdrowego zmysłu.
Actually, no one is in a proper condition to think of me.
W rzeczywistości nikt nie jest w odpowiednim stanie, aby sprawiedliwie myśleć.
Reasonably or impartially.
Logicznie i bezstronnie.
Except we have a meek or humble disposition.
Jeśli nie ma cichego i pokornego sposobienia.
The opposite of humility, of course, is pride.
Przeciwieństwem pokory jest oczywiście duma.
An exaggerated self-respect and self-estimate.
Przesadne, przesadny szacunek dla samego siebie i własna ocena.
We find that many times the very ones who should not be proud.
Widzimy, iż wielokrotnie ci, którzy nie powinni być dumni,
the ones who are.
To właśnie są właśnie tymi, którzy są dumni.
They're filled with overconfidence.
Oni mają zbyt wiele zaufania do samego siebie.
To right-thinking people.
Dla ludzi o odpowiednio myślących.
This is distasteful and offensive.
Jest to niesmaczne.
Now, true humility is definitely not an abject groveling of ourselves.
Prawdziwa pokora nie jest oczywiście, patrzenie na siebie w sposób.
It is the right. It is the right estimate of ourselves as God sees us.
Jest to właściwa ocena samego siebie, tak jak widzi nas Bóg,
As the Bible reveals it to us.
Jak Biblia nam to objawia.
And of course that is a lowly and a proper one.
Jest to oczywiście niska i poniżliwa.
Generally speaking,
ogólnie mówiąc,
the developing Christian is like ripening grain.
Rozwijający się chrześcijanin jest jak dojrzewające ziarno.
The riper he grows, the more lowly he bends his head.
Im znajdzie dojrzewszy, tym niżej składa swoją głowę.
So actually the first test or proof of a truly great person is humility.
A więc tak naprawdę prawdziwym testem sprawdzianym prawdziwej wielkiej osoby jest jej pokora.
Ben Franklin once said,
Benjamin Franklin kiedyś powiedział,
after crosses and losses, men grow humbler and wiser.
Po krzyżach i stratach ludzie stają się pokorniejsi i mądrzejsi.
Confucius, 500 years before Jesus Christ said,
Konfucjusz 500 lat przed Jezusem powiedział,
humility is the solid foundation of all the virtues.
Pokora jest stabilną podstawą wszystkich zalet.
So we find that many times the richest pearl in the Christian
政策来有 national 规模去实现关系。
It assists grace and humility.
Yes, that much was our quality.
It assists us in coming into and staying in a correct appreciation of our relationship with our great and noble Creator. And also with other people too. It really does help us to keep from busybodying, trampling on the rights and sensibilities of others. The humble person is very seldom envious. Certainly is not arrogant, because he recognizes his faults and weaknesses. So, humility generally makes for peaceful relationship with others. The lovely help in seeking safe conduct in the time of trouble. It is reasonable and rational. It is sensible and logical. Humility is a precedent to gaining the truth, too. Our consecration, our sanctification, and our keeping in and growing in the truth. In life, we deal with three different kinds of people. Superiors, equals, and inferiors. And we will need humility in dealing with all things. We look for the good in others. We remember our own failings. Remember that our best is also blemished and defective. Generally, we compare ourselves with others and others with ourselves. But let us be very careful not to think of ourselves in a complementary contrast with others. Why? Because we too have superiors by whom we ourselves would not appreciate being despised or looked down upon. As we think about the flesh and the world, humility is a disadvantage or disadvantageous thing. It's not something the world likes. But to the spiritual, it has many advantages. It helps us to grow in the truth knowledge. If you were in a deep silo or pit or a cave, you could actually see the stars during the daytime. And those on the mountaintop in broad daylight cannot see. So the influence of humility goes far. When we try to spread, study, and practice the truth, it helps us not to be touchy or to feel mistreated. It saves us from many a hard fall. It is peculiarly our way to God because we can't come to God without it.
ona jest szczególną naszą drogą do Boga, ponieważ nie możemy przyjść do Boga bez niej.
Let me tell you about God's humility.
Pozwólcie powiedzieć mi coś o pokorze Boga.
Had he not stooped to make his son become our savior?
Gdyby on nie poniżył się i nie uczynił swego syna naszym zbawicielem,
how could we have any dealings with him?
Jak moglibyśmy mieć jakikolwiek kontakt, pracy z nim?
Had he not stooped to reveal himself to us?
Gdyby on nie poniżył się i nie objawił siebie nam,
how would we have any knowledge of him?
Skąd wiedzielibyśmy o nim?
Had he not taught us repentance, faith, and consecration?
Gdyby nas nie uczył o pokucie, wierze i poświęceniu,
how could we have ever drawn near to him?
Jak kiedykolwiek moglibyśmy się do niego zbliżyć?
In order to reveal himself, his plan,
aby objawić siebie, to swój plan,
character and his works,
swój charakter i czyny,
he humbled himself to accommodate himself to our low estate.
On ukorzył się i żeby dostosować się do naszego niskiego stanu.
This is where we see the great humility of God.
W tym właśnie widzimy wielką pokorę Boga.
And the results of that humility.
I efekty tej pokory.
Jesus humbled himself.
Jezus ukorzył się siebie.
Saint Paul and that servant are next to our Lord.
Święty Paweł i posługa naszego Pana.
Classic examples of humility.
Klasyczne przykłady pokory.
But also the tests that come along with it.
Ale także prób, które z tego towarzyszą.
Every overcomer must go through those tests of humility.
Każdy zwycięzca musi przejść przez te próby pokory.
All four faith classes.
Wszystkie cztery klasy wiary.
The angels.
Aniołowie.
So all down through the restitution class.
I wszyscy aż do klasy restytucyjnej.
James tells us.
Jakub mówi nam.
God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Bóg sprzeciwia się ludziom, a daje łaskę pokornym.
So my dear brethren, safe conduct through the time of trouble.
Tak więc rozważaj troski, bezpieczne postępowanie w czasach ucisku.
Not only depends upon God's providential care.
Nie zależy tylko od łaskawej opieki Boga.
But also upon our tactful behavior.
Ale także od naszego taktownego zachowania się.
As Zephaniah 2:3 told us.
Jak mówił nam Sofoniasz wasze.
Seek ye the Lord all ye meek of the earth.
Szukajcie Pana wszyscy ci ziemi.
Which have brought his judgment.
Którzy czynicie swoją sprawiedliwość.
Seek righteousness, seek meekness.
Szukajcie sprawiedliwości, szukajcie wściekłości.
Maybe he should be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Być może ukryje się w dniu jego Pana.
There are fundamental ways in associating with people and getting along.
Są fundamentalne sposoby, aby służyć dla ludzi.
Proverbs 16:17.
Przypowieści 16:17.
The highway of the upright is to depart from evil.
Wysoka droga tych prawych to odejście od złego.
He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul.
Ten, który utrzymuje swoją drogę, zachowuje duszę.
It helps to try to understand other people's views.
To pomaga zrozumieć poglądy innych ludzi.
Listen to them. Be sincerely interested and sympathetic.
Pozwala słuchać ci. Być szczerze zainteresowany i
sympatyczny. A smile helps a lot.
Uśmiech dużo pomaga.
Especially in tract work.
Szczególnie w pracy z broszurami.
Because we should always try to make the other person comfortable.
Zawsze powinniśmy bowiem sprawiać, aby ta druga osoba czuła się wygodnie.
Make them feel important.
Aby czuła się ważna.
And the best way to get the best of an argument.
Najlepszą sposobą osiągnięcia chwilą najlepsze sprzeczne.
Is to avoid it.
To jej unikanie.
Tact, diplomacy, humility.
Tact, dyplomacja, pokora.
They help to smooth the wrinkles.
One pomagają wygładzić twarz.
We must show respect for other people's opinion.
Musimy pokazywać szacunek dla opinii innych ludzi.
Avoid telling them bluntly that they are wrong.
Unikać mówienia im bezpośrednio, że się mylą.
We can be frank with them.
Możemy być szczerzy wobec nich.
But we need not be brutal.
alla prima per non ricordare.
So the poem tells us. We love each other better if we only understood. Generosity and cheerfulness always help. And another thought. If we are wrong, we must admit it immediately. My dear brethren, we might as well get ready for more trouble. Because it's on the way. It is going to get worse and not better. Although there will be pauses now and then. But with each pang and each spasm, each sudden violence will become more intense and extreme until the trouble finally accomplishes God's purpose. Destruction of Satan's empire and system. Setting up a Christ kingdom of justice, peace, and righteousness. So, as followers of the Lamb, let us grow strong and well balanced in these qualities of justice, mercy, and humility. And let us add meekness, gentleness, and sympathy. These will be a big help for safe conduct in dangerous times. Proverbs 19:23. The fear or reverence of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it, that is reverence, shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So these are some practical applications of Christian principles, dear my dear brethren. For safe conduct in the days of the
living.
May the God of peace bless us all.